We're back. Sue, Kim, Scott, Paula, Jason. We got a full room here today.
And a snowstorm outside.
And a beautiful snowstorm outside that allows me to play with my four-wheel drive and to be in the middle of the road. Like, I love this stuff.
All the time.
I just love it. I really do. And everybody thinks I'm nuts, but anyway, that's all right. Part of that's true. So miracles, we were talking about miracles, and we all have our own stories. And I think underneath it all, though, and we talk about this quite often, especially when we have our friend, what's his name, Todd, on, we talk about codependency and how that seems to underlie dependency. It's even number one, really, when we want to go through how it all comes to be. So, you know, we seek to be in control. We can't help it. We seek to be in control of our own lives. And, you know, we've got to go a long way before we realize not only can we not control everything else around us, probably the last thing that we really can't control is me, is ourselves. So, you know, when we realize that and we accept that, we've got a long way to go. But usually we can't accept that. This is where, to me, the escape thing comes in. Man, I can't stand the feeling of this. What am I? What good am I? Not only can I not really add to it or make a difference anywhere else, I can't do anything about me. And they've always told me, oh, the only thing you can change is you. Well, I disagree. You know, I believe with that higher power, with God Almighty, whomever you believe in, then you can do mighty things, but not for you. And not because you want to do it, because that source wants it done, you know. So so we get into that whole thing. But when we realize we're really not in control of anything, you know, yeah, we can make a decision. God knows how that decision is going to turn out. But we don't know, you know. We can make a decision. We can say, yes, I'll be there. And maybe I won't even make it. We really don't have any control. I think when that stares us in the face, it's very frightening. And most of us will try and find a way to get away from that. So just naturally, you know, I don't like that. I'm like, why stay there? I'm not effective here. I feel rotten. So we do whatever we can to get away from that. And then if we have this little genetic piece or whatever on the inside of us that says, if you keep doing something over and over and over again, you're going to cross a line someday there, Scott. And when you cross that line, you're not going to be able to stop doing this escape mechanism, whatever the heck it is. And then you're an addict. You're an alcoholic. You're a compulsive whatever. You've got OCD. You've got this. You got that. You're ADD, blah, 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 blah. But what do I do then? So do I go back and focus on the fentanyl like we're talking about now? Or do I go a little further and say, let's really look at some roots here. Let's see how I can get comfortable with living with the fact that I'm not in control, but I have access to a phenomenal, I have like access to all the control that controls all the things. And I'm a child of that.
Spec.
You know what I mean? I'm nothing, but I'm everything because of what I carry around on the inside of me. So, we're the ultimate and we're nothing at the same time. Wonderful place to be. What an alleviation of weight. You know, I can't do anything, so I don't have to take the blame for anything, you know, but I must make the best decisions I can so that I can fulfill some sort of purpose in this life of mine. Where are we going with that? So, you know, all this to say that I need to come to believe something, and we spoke about that at the end of our last session. So I came to believe. I came so I could learn how to believe. And we said that many people would like to say, I came, then I came to, started to open my eyes and maybe the fog lifted and so on. And then I realized, you know, I came to believe, you know, I came to believe in something. What was it like, you know? And today we know it's wonderful and it's everything. But there was a time when that wasn't true. We've had doubts along the way. When I say doubt, what does it bring up? What does it bring to mind? Like, okay. Even today, I mean, we have doubts because we're human, right? And we really don't know if we're going to make it home from the storm, you know, the snowstorm. We really don't know, you know, what's going to go on tomorrow. But we'll plan. But if we take our focus away from the moment, we're wasting a lot of valuable time. So, any thoughts?
Well, I was thinking a couple of things where you're talking. Well, I'm glad you can be in the moment and not want to control outcomes, because I certainly can't. Like, I have a really hard time with that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just, you know, I either swing from totally letting go, and then letting go of some things sometimes maybe that I shouldn't be letting go. I almost think of accepting unacceptable behavior, but that's not where I'm going with this. Yeah. Or on the other side is, you know, be so wound up from that fear and that anxiety, because this is going to happen or that's going to happen. You know, my thought life really dictates a lot of my behavior sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And if I listen to my thought life, I'm going to be in trouble. And so being in that moment, even though it's a beautiful, glorious, peaceful place, I'm not there a lot, right? I wish I was. I'm not there a lot. But I was thinking when you were talking about that, you know, I was thinking about free will. You know, we have free will. And, you know, God gave us brains, and he gave us our intuition, and he gave us our creativity, and he gave us a whole bunch of skill sets, and he also gave us free will. And he gave us the opportunity to make choices and make decisions and, you know, do things on a daily basis, whether it be leaving here and driving in the snowstorm, and whether me, I got a little bit of a lead foot, whether I want to really step it down to 60 kilometers an hour instead of going 80 because the snow is bad out, right? I have free choice on what I do. But, you know, I think in that, and I get emotional while I say this, because, you know, it's in that free choice where I get to live life and I get to push those boundaries a little bit. And for me, my greatest growth has always been in my mistakes. My greatest growth has always been in trying to do things the way that I think they should be done, that I really don't need God and I don't need his advice or I don't need his guidance. And and then I kind of make a mess of a little bit, and then I get to come to him again. I just did a fourth step yesterday, a very, very painful fourth step. And in that, you know, I really believe it was all just part of his plan anyways. And even though in my mind, in my interpretation, if you know anything about a fourth step, it's taking a look at some of your, some of the way you behave and your interactions with maybe another human being. When I looked at that, I kind of screwed up, right? And I'm taking ownership for what part I played in a difficult relationship that I had. But out of that, I really believe, I meditated this morning, and I really believe it just was part of God's plan. Because in that, I could be broken, and I could be vulnerable, and I could be really needy. And God will only come in and heal me and fix me and restore me and rebuild the walls that were once torn down in that in that emptiness. And so, as much as I hate being in pain, as much as I hate being in the emptiness, it's a really good place, because that's the only place that God can work on me. Because as long as I think I'm in control, or I got the situation handled and I know what I'm doing, God's, listen, I wish you could see visually. I almost feel like sometimes God's sitting over in a chair, leaning on his knee with his hand on his chin going, okay, Sue, you do what you got to do. You do what you got to do, Sue. But when you're ready, I'm right here. I'm right here for you. And thank you, God, that he's always right there for me as I kind of, you know, go through life and these challenges. And I get to come to him. And one of the things in my brokenness I love the most is because I always suffered from low self-esteem. I always felt unworthy. I never felt good enough. And it's in that that he just gets to love me so much. It just blows me away every single... And I've made some really big, huge... This is nothing compared to the stuff I've done in my life. Nothing that came up on this fourth. But I get to be loved. I get to hear him whisper in my ear, you know, you it's okay. I love you. There's nothing you could do that would ever make me turn away from you. And this was all part of my plan for you anyways. Because now I've healed that area. You've been working on that. I've healed that. That's what, you know, so that's where I've been. I would love to be in the peace. I'm not in the peace a lot, right? And, you know, it's all part of my growing. Yeah, it's all part of it. You know, like recovery and life is all about change. It's all about growing. It's all about knowing that I don't know. It's all about thinking that I know and then realizing, you know what, I really don't know. And I need to be stayed humble. You know, I need to stay humble, and it's a humbling experience just to be vulnerable. I don't need to be humble with you. I don't need to show my vulnerability to anybody in the room. It's between me and my creator, right? That's all it is.
You know, when you're talking about feeling God's love, you know, the way you explained it, do you get some of that through his creatures, through other people? Do you... You know, because I think that is the ultimate, is God demonstrating his love. We do it in the jails all the time. God demonstrating his love for his fellow man and showing it streaming, not mm-hmm. streamlining, streaming,
streamlining.
through other people to, and I think that's so important, and especially in the jails. I'm there last night with five guys, I guess, and five guys
Any
in orange.
Punch out, knockout?
You know, and...
no fights last night?
No fights,
okay,
nothing.
Okay, that's good.
But anyway, and the, listening to the stories, and the fentanyl stories are just incredible today. I mean, you know, guys saying, I don't think I had another Narcan left in me, you know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. what they use to bring people back from opiate overdoses. And with fentanyl, there's another complication, and that doesn't work that well. And they're up to using 3 and 4 and 5 shots at a time. And the people with kits only get 2 shots. I mean, it's a whole another world. There's almost an epidemic. It's almost an addiction to overdosing. Sounds mm-hmm. ridiculous, mm-hmm. but I was asked that in the ladies' institution a couple of weeks ago. What do we do? I know there's places to go for addicts, but what do we do if we just can't stop overdosing? Man, that's, you know, like, it's easy to answer it, but it's not easy. You know, like,
that's the reality, right?
Oh, it's terrible, you know, and we talk about all these deaths in just one province in one country, and mm-hmm. and they're the visual ones. And what did you tell me came about? How many something?
90 people in one night in Vancouver, yeah. rushed to emergency. 90
Jeez.
People.
All fentanyl.
The whole
related?
City got knocked yeah. out. You know, all yeah. the emergency services got knocked yeah. out. Yeah, it was just a nightmare, right?
Wow.
You know, yeah. talking about. Control. Talking
yeah.
about control.
Yeah.
You know, every single person that I know that overdosed and was fortunate enough to come back, they did not plan to overdose that day.
No.
And the people that died, they did not plan to die that day, right? They were in control. I'm only going to do one, right? So that's how far control goes. It doesn't go anywhere. We don't have any.
Yeah.
I know that for me, you had touched on it about having a hard time letting go of certain things. I leave my claws in things, right? Sometimes
yeah.
it takes, there's claw marks in
yeah.
things that I let go of sometimes. Yeah. And it's so funny because I believe as people, as addicts or alcoholics, I believe that there are some things that are easy for me to let go of. And it's usually things that I'm not too attached to.
Yeah.
Like if I don't really like my job, yeah, okay, yeah. higher power, I don't care. If I'm supposed to be there, I'll be there. I'm not too attached to it, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not too attached to somebody being in my life, ah, that person over there that I met, okay, if they're supposed to be in my life, great. If not, okay, I give that up. I'm just going to go with the universe on this one. But let it be something I'm attached to. Mm. My relationship.
Basic instincts, right?
My relationship. Oh, it's okay, God. I think I'll handle this one. I know how to do this better than you,
yeah.
right? Something that I really want, something that my ego is like, I'm identified with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Yeah.
I am not going to let that go.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to manipulate it. I'm going to manage it. I'm going to interfere with it. I'm going to do all kinds of stuff to it until something happens and I get full of pain.
Yeah.
And it's only in the pain that I realize, oh, jeez, I need to let go of this. That's God's my teacher,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's my teacher. And, you know, and almost every time when I experience that pain, it's always because I see that I'm not letting go of something. Mm-hmm. And all the suffering that I experience in my life is always a result.
It's always self-induced. I'm just coming from
always.
My own experience here, Kim, right?
Always. There's nothing anybody outside of me can do to me to hurt
yeah.
me.
Yeah,
it's me,
right.
that, it's
yeah,
me
yeah.
that does
yeah.
it, right? But at the end of the day, every single thing is because I was resisting what is. Not in acceptance of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to manipulate reality. I don't like reality right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to change it to suit
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like
and
what you're doing. I don't
believe
like
fantasy.
Yeah.
Do you believe? I don't know about you
yeah.
because I believe a lot of fantasies. Like,
I'm
a liar in my head, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I make these scenarios
yeah.
up or I have these ideas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I still have a lot of ideas
yeah.
in my head. And certain situations will transpire in my life, and I already got it all planned out. I
yeah.
got, you know, from A to Z already planned out. And
yeah.
when things don't,
yeah.
by B, things are not going the way I think they should. And
yeah.
I don't even, half the time I don't even realize it's happening to me.
Yeah.
And then what happens is I either try really hard, try a little bit harder, try a little bit harder because my plan, I want my plan to unfold. To try,
yeah.
Or I listen to a really good speaker tape. I'm talking about page 16 to 63 in the big book. I'm either going to kiss your butt.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to kick your butt. And that's
yeah.
what happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit more gracious. I'm a little bit more kind.
Yes.
Oh, if I want Kim to do something for me,
yeah.
and she's not really sure I'm going to work my magic. I hate to say Delilah in the Bible, but Delilah in the Bible, right? You know, it doesn't have to be a female with a male. It could be, you know, I can work my magic, right?
Manipulation.
Like, yeah, I get pulled over by a cop. Hi. Oh, I'm so sad. Bad an eye. Like, I've been really fortunate. I've had a lot of speeding tickets, and I've gotten a lot of speeding tickets, but I've also been pulled over, and I've had a lot of grace given to me as a result of really, you know, just saying, I know what I was doing. I'm playing dumb, right? The dumb blonde works really well sometimes, right? You know, it's a form of manipulation. And then I got what I want, and we're good. But I need to own that stuff, right? And sometimes when I'm in it, I don't see it. Okay. The thing about being in, I don't see it, right?
Cool. Thank you. We're going to have to take one more break. Think of this while we're taking that break. Letting go of chaos. Really letting go of it. Think of that. Okay. Jay, you wanna? Can we have a song?
I think it's time for a song. And here's a song that'll fit in with the show from Michael Bublé, God Only Knows. And we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
I'd be without you.